Excellent, excellent. Well, good morning and welcome. For those of you who are with us for the first time, my name is Chris. I'm the lead pastor here at Hoboken Grace, and we are really excited to have you with us. For all of you moms out there, happy Mother's Day. Would you guys just celebrate that? And celebrate them this morning. Hopefully you received your gift on the way in. We do. We just believe that you're a swell mom. And we want to get behind that and celebrate you today. For those of you who don't know, our gift this morning for moms is a swell. So it's not a good joke, but that was the joke. So, but as we walk into this morning, we're celebrating our moms, but we're also wrapping up a conversation that we've been in for the past couple weeks called Weightless. And for the last few weeks here at Hoboken Grace, we've been looking at how God powerfully has stepped into our lives and said, listen, if you're going to experience life to the fullest, if you're going to experience, and he specifically talks about it in terms of those who've come before us, if you're going to experience what they've experienced, what those who've come before you have experienced, and the faith that they experienced, and experience me that way, and experience the journey that way, he calls it the race, experience the race that way, then you've got to get rid of this weight. Let me just take you to that passage that we've been looking at for the past couple weeks. It says, therefore, since we are surrounded by such a huge crowd of witnesses to the life of faith, he says, since we're surrounded by such, and when you go back and look at those that he's referencing, I mean, these people are people that God has used to do amazing things, that God has used to powerfully impact the world, that have experienced God in amazing ways. He says, man, since we're surrounded by them, Let us engage this race the same way. And in order to do that, we have to strip off every weight. And for the last couple of weeks, we've been talking about, okay, what does that look like? Specifically as it pertains to the weight of unforgiveness or bitterness, which as he continues in the chapter, it's one of the weights that he calls out. Look after each other so none of you fails to receive the grace of God. Watch out that no poisonous root of bitterness grows up to trouble you. And we've been looking at and working through this idea of forgiveness and how we get rid of those weights from our past that so many of us are carrying. And we're not just looking at the fact that we should forgive or calling ourselves to forgive. Most of us understand that. As a matter of fact, I've argued from the beginning, and I still argue, a lot of us want to do that, but we have no idea. We have no idea how to do that. And so what we've been working through is how do we change the way that we think about forgiveness? Because almost all of us walked into this conversation with the wrong definition. And we walked in with the wrong mindset, and we thought, well, forgiveness is the abandonment of justice. Forgiveness is the foregoing of justice, as opposed to understanding that, no. Forgiveness is based on the execution of justice. And we've seen how God's idea of forgiveness is so far from our idea of forgiveness. And so God, as he steps into our lives, he says, no, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins. What is he talking about? He's just. Forgiveness is not the abandonment of justice. No. Forgiveness is built on the foundation of justice. And God steps into our lives and says, listen, you can be forgiven, not because I forget what you've done or I forego the justice of what's happened. No, you can be forgiven because of the fact that Jesus bought your forgiveness. He paid for it. The justice that you deserved was poured out on him. And so our forgiveness is freely given, but it is in no way free. It was paid for. It was bought. And it is built on justice. And it's not just our relationship and our forgiveness as it pertains to God that's built on justice. We began to walk through this last week in the way that we forgive one another and understanding that, no. We don't forgive one another by just moving past it, by saying it's not a big deal. No, our forgiveness for one another is also built on justice. And last week we began to walk through the process of forgiveness that we extend to one another. Now, that process doesn't begin with reconciliation. It doesn't begin with restoration. It begins actually with release, which is what? It's the trusting of God's justice in the situation. And so when something happens to me, I decide, I'm not going to live my life carrying this stuff. I'm not going to engage this journey carrying all of this weight. No. And so whenever something happens to me, I'm going to release that to God. And so whatever it is that happens, this isn't going to be between me and you anymore. This is going to be between you and him. And I trust God's justice. I'm not going to exact revenge. I'm not going to be the one who makes you pay for what you've done. No, I trust God's justice. And so I give it to him. And I say, okay, between you and me, there's nothing there. This is between you and him. I trust his justice. Now listen. That's the base. It's not the best. As we walk through this, make sure that you're in the way that we're thinking about that. That's the base. It's not the best. The best is reconciliation and restoration. That's the best. That's what we're going for. That's what we long for. That's the goal. That's what we experience with Jesus as we step into this relationship with him, is reconciliation, restoration. The relationship is restored. Not only is there not anything there, but no. We are restored to one another. That's what we're working for. The base is, I'm not carrying this anymore. This is between you and God. This isn't between me and you. Now, for some of you, that's as far as the process is going to go. Listen. For some of you, that's as far as the process is going to go because the person who hurt you or harmed you or sinned against you is no longer around. Or for some of you, that's as far as the process is going to go because the other person who sinned against you, the person who harmed you, isn't interested in the conversation of forgiveness. Or the person who harmed you or the person who hurt you doesn't think that what they did was wrong and they don't care. But listen, the beginning of the process begins with that release. The continuation of the process, it's interesting. Pay attention. The continuation of this process of forgiveness that God has called us into, it moves from that base to the best only if both parties are involved. Only if both parties are involved. If one party says, I didn't do anything wrong, I don't want anything to do with this, I'm not, then you're stuck. It is what it is. And it ends with the base, which is the release, and say, okay, God, I'm going to trust you. This isn't between me and you anymore. This is between you and him. And God, I trust you. I trust your justice. In order for it to move forward from there, both parties have to be part of the process. The same thing is true with you and God. And so as God steps into our life, he walks through a process. We looked at this in week one. We looked at the process that God walks through with us as it pertains to forgiveness. And the reality is that if we're going to get to the best, which is reconciliation, the process involves both people. In order for there to be reconciliation and restoration, there must be a conversation. There must be a conversation. As a matter of fact, in Luke chapter 16, it talks about, let's go to Matthew 18 first. In Matthew chapter 18, it talks about the importance of this. It says, if your brother sins against you, go and show him his fault. Just between the two of you. If he listens to you, you have won your brother back. You have to have a conversation. In order for there to be restoration, there has to be a conversation. Now, some of you want to skip this. As a matter of fact, all of us want to skip this. We say, no. Do we really? We don't really need to talk about it. We don't really need to go there. It's okay. It's fine. It's not a big deal. I don't really need to talk to them about it. Okay, just understand this. There's not forgiveness there, and don't fool yourself into believing that there's reconciliation or restoration. And don't be surprised when it keeps coming back. Why? Because it hasn't been resolved. It hasn't been resolved. And some of you think, no, I can get to forgiveness without the conversation. Because you think that forgiveness is the foregoing of justice. When you understand what forgiveness actually is, it can't happen without a conversation. And God doesn't forgive us without a conversation. And God engages us in the conversation and says, no. What you've done has destroyed who I created you to be. And what you've done is destroying who I created the people around you to be. And what you've done has spit in my face, the very one who created you. There's a conversation, and God engages us in that. We talked about that, the confrontation, where God steps in and says, let me talk to you about sin. And the same thing is true with those around us. In order for there to be restoration, there must be a conversation. In addition to that, in order for it to move forward, in order for the reconciliation process to move forward, again, it's just like the way that we are forgiven. In order for it to move forward, there must be confession. John 1:9, we talked about this earlier, but if we confess our sins, God's calling us to confess. When you look at Luke 16, you also see that there's not just confession that's necessary, but there's also repentance. So Luke 16 is talking about forgiveness. It says this, so watch yourselves. If your brother sins, rebuke him, and if he repents, forgive him. If he repents, forgive him. Now, I want to talk about this for just a second because in week one, I think this got a little bit confusing. Some of you walked out with the wrong idea as it pertains to confession and repentance, or there was confusion about it. And so some of you are like, wait. In order for me to be forgiven by God, I have to repent, which we said means that I'm going one direction and I turn around and go back the other direction. Does that mean that I'm earning my forgiveness? I mean, if I'm repenting and my forgiveness is based upon repentance, does that mean that I'm earning my forgiveness? Now, listen, this is important for you to know in terms of faith, in terms of this whole process. It's important for you to understand. Confession and repentance work together the same way that faith and works work together. Okay? One is the natural byproduct or the outworking. It's the fruit of the other. And they're intricately interwoven. You can't really separate the one from the other. And so if you confess, there will be repentance. So confession is I believe, and I think, I see this the same way that you do. And so, no, I understand that this is destructive. I understand that this is unloving. I understand that this is sinful, right? That confession naturally leads to a change in direction. The same way that the scripture stepped into our lives and say, listen, your relationship with God isn't based on what you do. You don't earn your relationship with God. No. It's based on grace through faith, as Ephesians says. Our salvation is by grace through faith, not of works, lest any of us should boast. A proud Christian doesn't understand Christianity. He doesn't understand the message of Jesus. Why? Because we don't earn it. We never earn it. It's by grace through faith. But then James comes along. James, the brother of Jesus, comes along and says, whoa, you say that you have faith, but it shows up nowhere in your life. He says, faith without works is dead. What is he saying? The works save you? You earn? No, what he's saying is, no, there's a natural outworking to faith. Well, there's a natural outworking to confession. It's a change in direction. And so you can say all day long that you believe that fire will burn you, but if you step into a fire, you don't believe fire will burn you, or you're insane, one or the other. One of those two things. And the same thing is true when it comes to confession and repentance. They're intricately interwoven. And yeah, you have to understand, if you believe something, like, the scriptures don't talk about belief like an intellectual consent to something. That's the way we talk about belief. I intellectually consent to something. That's not the way the scriptures talk about belief. Belief is something that's core. It's foundational. It's at the center of who you are. It changes. It impacts your behavior. It has fruit in your life, natural outworking in your life. Same thing is true about confession and repentance. And God says, if you're going to experience my salvation, my forgiveness, this is the way it works. And I want for you to forgive as I have forgiven. I want for you to forgive others the way that I have forgiven you. Colossians 3, we've been looking at this verse. Bear with each other and forgive whatever grievances you may have against one another. Forgive how? As the Lord forgave you. As the Lord forgave you. We want to change this word to because. We want it to say forgive because the Lord forgave you. Most of us interact with this passage that way. It's the same way in Ephesians. Be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other, just as in Christ, God forgave you. We want to change this to because. Forgive, why? Because you're forgiven. Forgive, why? Because you are forgiven. That's part of it. That's not all of it. It's much bigger than that. It's as, same way, just like, same process, same experience. Forgive as you've been forgiven. Which means there has to be a conversation. And then there has to be confession and repentance. It's not just okay. We don't just move past it. One of my favorite things. And can you guys jump back to the one that has the process up here? So perfect. So one of my favorite things about my son's school is that inside of the school, if one child harms another child, they can't just move past it. They can't just say it's okay. So the child who injured the other child has to go to them and say, will you forgive me? And they have to use the word forgive. And the other child isn't allowed to do what most of us do, which is to look at one another and say, oh, it's okay, it's cool, it's good, it's good. They're not allowed to say that. Why? Because it's not okay. They have to say either I forgive you or I don't. I love it because it's reality. And I know for some of you, as we walk through this, you're thinking, wait. You're making a big deal out of this because listen to me. This, what we're walking through, is not a band-aid for what's happened. It's the resolution for what's happened. And if you want for things to stop coming up and stop piling up in your life, for those weights to actually get rid of those weights, not to just figure out how to carry them better, but to actually get rid of them, you have to understand the truth of what God's actually said about forgiveness. Which means, no, there has to be a conversation, there has to be confession, there has to be repentance. And then the final piece, which is restitution. It has to be paid for. It has to be paid for. Now, when we talk about restitution, I'm not talking about, well, you know, I did this to you, so now let me buy you ice cream. And unfortunately for many of us, when we walk through this, we look at sin that way. And let me be clear about something. We're talking about, when we walk through this, we're talking about sin. We're talking about someone actually hurt you. They did something wrong to you. This isn't like you forgot the milk on your way home. Like, you forgot the milk again. Okay, conversation. Here we go. Now there needs to be confession. I think you need to repent and make sure that you never forget again. No, that's not what we're talking about. Like, what's the restitution? No, we're talking about actual sin. We're not talking about, okay, I made a mistake. We're not talking, when we talk through this process, we're not talking about a difference of opinion, which can be tricky because sometimes it feels like they need to confess for a difference of opinion. My friend Rich and I, for the last 2 days, have been in the midst of this conversation. He's crazy. He thinks LeBron is better than Michael Jordan, which I think he needs to confess about. There's definitely restitution that needs to be made for that. But no, that's not what we're talking about. That's not what we're talking about. We're talking about, no. Someone lied to me. Like you, no, you deceived me. We're talking about sin. Listen, pay attention to this. Pay attention to this. For those of you who are single, listen. This is why it's really important to be in a relationship with someone who's on the same place or in the same place when it comes to faith. Because in order to do this well, you have to work from the same foundation about what's true. And what sin is. When you're working from two different places about how you define truth, this is almost impossible. Almost impossible. We're talking about sin. And the reality is that when it comes to restitution, you can't actually ask them to make restitution for what they've done. Because you know what the penalty for sin is? It's death. Now remember, we've been talking about this a lot this year. Inside the scriptures, death is not you exist or don't exist. That's not what death is. Complete isolation. It's disconnection from everyone else and from God. And God says, no. When you do that to people, when you treat people like that, the restitution for that is death. That you would be completely isolated, that you would be completely disconnected from God and from those around you. And some of you say, no. It's not that big a deal. No, I remember exactly where I was when this hit me the hardest in my life. I was in Columbus Park, just north of here a little ways, and my son was about 3 years old, my oldest son. And we were at the playground, we're playing, and I'm off to the side, and he's out there playing with the other kids. And all of a sudden, he begins to make his way over to me, and his eyes are welling up with tears. And I can tell, like, something happened, but it was strange because his face wasn't hurt. It definitely wasn't a pain face, and it wasn't anger. Like, he wasn't angry about something. He had this face that was just complete confusion, like almost total bewilderment. But these big tears were welling up in his eyes, and I could tell, like, this was real pain. And he looked at me. I'll never forget it. I can still see his face today. I can still hear his voice. And he looked at me, and he said, "Dad, they told me they don't want to play with me." And I watched my son experience rejection for the first time. And in that moment, it came crushing down on me. Sin is going to take so much from you. It's going to take so much from you. You don't make up for that by getting ice cream. You don't make up for that by doing something kind next week or giving to charity. What our sin has done to the people around us deserves death. We don't deserve to be around other people anymore. You don't make up for it by a few good deeds. You don't make it right. As a matter of fact, you can't reverse what happened on that playground.
But there has to be restitution. So what do we do? This is again why God says, you forgive just as I forgave. Not because, just as I forgave. Well, what's the restitution for us? It's Jesus. The same is true with them. And so as we walk through forgiveness and we walk through this process, it's the same question that we asked God in week one. If you remember back in week one, we were talking through our forgiveness and how we experience our forgiveness, and we asked God a question, right? Do you remember the question? The question was this: God, will you accept what Jesus did for what I've done? That's the same question we ask each other when we ask for forgiveness. And to forgive is to accept the restitution of Christ. I accept what Jesus did for what you've done. I accept what Jesus did for what you've done. The basis of our forgiveness is the justice that was served on the cross. And so I forgive because of what Jesus did on the cross, because of the restitution that was made. Which is why, and man, we don't understand this. We think forgiveness is something that existed and Jesus calls us to it. Pay attention to this. Pay attention. We think that forgiveness was something that always existed and then Jesus calls us to practice it because that's what love looks like. No, no, no. Jesus is the beginning of forgiveness. He is the initiation of the entire thing. There is no forgiveness outside of Jesus. Not just with God, with each other as well. Not the way God explains and defines forgiveness. The way you think about forgiveness, that forgiveness is the foregoing of justice, yeah, you can do that without Jesus. But the way God talks about forgiveness, that forgiveness is based on, cemented in, the foundation of it is justice. It is not possible without Jesus. Which is why in Romans, again, as we talked about last week, he makes such a big deal about how God was just in forgiving those who came before Jesus. What's his entire argument? He was just in forgiving those who came before Jesus. Why? Because he was looking forward to Jesus. He was counting on Jesus. And the reason that he could forgive Moses is because he was looking forward to Jesus. Why did he have to look forward to Jesus in order to forgive Moses? Because there is no, there never has been, and there never will be, forgiveness outside of Jesus. It's not possible. Forgiveness requires restitution. And there is no one else who can take the restitution that we deserve. In order to take the restitution, you have to not owe. We can't take the restitution for each other. It's not possible. It literally is not possible. And when we forgive each other, what we're doing is we're stepping in and saying, no, I accept what Jesus did for what you've done. That Jesus was the restitution. And listen to me. Whatever it is that you hope for them, whatever it is that you want for them. We talked about this last week. All the dreams that you have, the dreams of their house burning down, the dreams of them getting divorced, the dreams of them becoming an alcoholic, the dreams of, you say, whoa, we went too far. No, I didn't. I know, and you know. whatever it is that you wish that they would experience because of what they've done, listen to me. Jesus did. You want them to be humiliated? He was. You want them to be crushed? Yeah. He was. You want them to die? Yeah. You want them to be alone, forgotten, abandoned, betrayed? Yeah. He was. Whatever you want for them, he was. And God says, I want for you to forgive just as I've forgiven you, in the same way that I've forgiven you. It begins with trusting my justice. So there has to be a conversation, confession, repentance, and then we accept the restitution of Jesus. I accept what Jesus did for what you've done. Now, I know some of you are here, and as we walk through this, you're thinking to yourself, don't think you're alone in this. There's many of you who are thinking to yourself, no. I don't want Jesus to take their place. I don't want Jesus to make it right. I don't want Jesus to be the one who suffers for what was done for me. I want them to suffer. I want them to be the one who pays for it. I want them to be the one who is crushed. I want them to be the one who dies. I don't want Jesus to take their place for it. He took yours. I know, but I don't want, no. You don't understand. I don't want Jesus to take their place. And here's the thing, listen. This is so important. Listen, you have to decide whether you accept forgiveness. Listen to me. You have to decide whether you accept forgiveness. Not just your forgiveness. Whether you accept the reality of what that passage in Colossians told us last week. That God was pleased to have all of his fullness dwell in him, and through him to reconcile to himself all things, whether things on earth or things in heaven, by making peace through his blood shed on the cross. You have to decide, do you accept forgiveness? That Jesus didn't just die for you. He died for it all. He's not just the restitution for what you've done. He's the restitution for everything that's been done to you. That Jesus ushered in the reality of forgiveness. That the restitution has been made. Do you accept forgiveness? The restitution's been made. Well, will you forgive me? Yeah, I forgive you. I accept forgiveness. No. I just want to believe that he forgave me. I just want to believe that he died for me. No. It was the same act. It was the same moment. Do you accept forgiveness? This is why
Pay attention.
This is why God over and over again, and Jesus multiple times teaches us, you can't experience forgiveness if you don't forgive. Some of you, these passages give you fits. Where Jesus steps in, and listen what he says to his disciples, Matthew chapter 6. He says, "For if you forgive men when they sin against you, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive men their sins, your Father will not forgive your sins." What is he talking about? Is he talking about the fact that you earn forgiveness by forgiving other people? No. He's talking about the reality that you either accept forgiveness or you don't. Do you accept forgiveness? That God was pleased to have the fullness of himself dwell in Christ and to provide the restitution for the world, not just what I've done, but what's been done to me. I accept forgiveness. It's the reality of forgiveness. We interact with forgiveness like it's an individual choice in a moment. And I'm going to decide right now whether I forgive you or don't forgive you. No. You either accept forgiveness or you don't. Well, how could I not forgive you? I've accepted forgiveness. I've accepted the fullness of what Jesus did on that cross. And what that means for the world. Now listen to me. You don't have to accept forgiveness. As a matter of fact, many people won't. Many people will say, No, I want justice. I want justice. That's why Jesus says, like, if you're gonna demand justice for them, if you're not gonna accept forgiveness, then you have to understand you haven't accepted forgiveness. Will you accept it? Listen to me. This changes everything. What would it look like if you were to walk into work next week and that person who's injured you asks you to forgive them and you say to them, "Well, yeah, I accept forgiveness. Absolutely, I'll forgive you. I accept forgiveness." What do you mean? Well, you wouldn't believe what I believe Jesus has done for you. You wouldn't believe what I believe Jesus has done for you. You see, I believe that Jesus was on the cross reconciling all things to himself, including you. You can accept it or walk away from it. God never forces it on you. He never does. One of the questions that each and every one of us has to answer is this: do you accept forgiveness? And the reality that Jesus didn't just pay part of it. He didn't just pay part of it. He didn't just pay a bit of it. He paid all of it. Will you bow your heads with me? I want to invite you right now to engage God in this conversation. First and foremost, for some of you, this has to do with your relationship with Him still. And for you to go before him and say, "Okay, God, I..." Maybe for the first time in your life to go before him and say, "God, I understand that I've screwed this up. I understand that I'm not the roommate. I'm not the boyfriend. I'm not the the Father I'm not that you created me to be. And I accept what you did on that cross. Not just what you did for me, I accept what you did on that cross as the restitution for my sin and my brokenness. I accept it. I accept the reality of forgiveness. I accept it. For others of you, this isn't so much about your relationship with Him, it's about your relationship with those around you, and you've been carrying that weight. Will you accept what Jesus did for what they've done? Will you accept what Jesus did for what they've done? Will you accept forgiveness? Jesus, how remarkable, how powerful this unbelievable truth. That without you, there is no such thing as forgiveness. And because of you, not only can we be forgiven, but we can forgive. We can truly and honestly forgive. I pray that the weight would be lifted. And that today we would accept forgiveness, the restitution that you made, both for what we've done and for what's been done to us. In Jesus' name, amen.